we are playing Vampire the Masquerade. VTM only half romanticizes vampires, and a large portion of the game is about exploring just how much of a monster you're willing to become. Since this game deals with heavier issues than most games we tend to play on this podcast, I am issuing a content warning for the following subjects on basically every episode. Blood. Violence. Body horror. Abuse of all forms. Issues of consent. And torture. If you feel uncomfortable to listening to any of these subjects, please tread lightly, and we will not blame you if you skip this campaign. Thank you. Two years ago, three corpses changed the course of Chicago's politics. Not the politics that you would normally think of. No mayors were ousted, no city councilors had scandals that caused them to resign in disgrace, no city officials found themselves dead or revealed as pedophiles. No. The politics we speak of here run much deeper than that. Deeper, older, vastly more important. They are the politics of the night, the politics of the kindred. Members of this select group go by many names. Bruja, Gangrel, Leeches, Blank Bodies. Perhaps their best known title is an old Serbian word. Vampire. 2 years ago, three corpses named Cor Saturino, Jonathan Ross, and Salem Jones killed the Prince of Chicago, Rainier Pilzer, and shook the world of the Camarilla to its very core. While the new prince, Virginio Montanaro, stepped up quickly to try and fill the void left by the old prince, there were some things he just couldn't replace. And nature, especially vampire nature, abhors a vacuum. It is December 9th, 2018, 4:51 p.m., and the sun sets on Chicago, and the corpses awaken. If everyone could roll me a rouse check, please.
We are all sundowning.
I rolled a zero. Is that good?
No. That's means a failure. That means you do not get any successes. So add a hunger to your hunger dice. So in order to get everyone reacclimated to the characters, I'll go down the order of the people who rolled their rouse checks first. So, Salem Jones, you awaken this night, and you're a little hungrier.
It happens, yeah.
It happens. You do have a text on your phone. Oh God, did you ever come up with a name for that, for the mother of that woman? That girl
who
got kidnapped?
It's Teresa Holland.
Okay, so... you have a text from Teresa Holland asking, you know, hey, we doing lunch anytime this month? I know it's Christmas, so I know it's a busy time. And then
I don't do lunch for one thing.
Well, okay, so dinner, whatever. You know what I mean.
I wasn't sure if that was like a point you were making, that she was asking to eat lunch with me, or if it was just a thing you forgot.
Yeah, it's just a thing I forgot. But she's basically saying, hey, are we doing anything this month? I know Christmas is a pretty busy time for everyone, so it's okay if we don't. And then you look at, like, as you're waking up and you're looking around in your apartment, you look at your front door. There's a handwritten envelope addressed to you. No return address is, like, literally just your name written in some extremely fancy handwriting that you instantly recognize as the prince's.
Oh, of course. I'm going to check the letter before I respond to that text, because I feel like I don't want to make any promises before I read my professional correspondence that's been slipped under my door while I was sleeping.
It says, at your earliest convenience, please come to Elysium. You might want to gather your coterie before you before you come, Sheriff.
Oh boy. Sheriff Jones.
Sheriff Jones. So here's my question, because it's been about 2 years since we last checked in with each other. What is Salem's sheriffing style? Because every sheriff has their own sort of style. As we all know, Stank Eyes was give them one warning and then gleefully kill them when they inevitably break the warning.
Salem's style is, don't make me come get you.
So, here's the question. When push comes to shove and you do have to, like, kill someone who is definitely breaking masquerade, do you go to Stank Eye and get him to do it, or do you do the deed yourself? Because I know you're not very combat oriented, and Stank Eye very much is.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's complicated. You know, it depends what's happening. It depends on the rule breaker.
Okay.
It's very, I'm going to be chill about this. I'll give you a warning. I will sit down and talk with you. But if you don't change your tune, I will fucking burn everything you have to the ground. I will light your house on fire with you inside of it.
Hey, fucking, there you go. That's how you do it.
Which I guess is pretty similar to Stank Eye, except I don't tend to murder people by hand.
You sit down, you give them a nice talk, and then if they don't comply, then you just ruin their entire life. Got it.
Yeah, I'm not going to meet force with force. I'm going to use my strong points, which is my, you know, my nice personality. And also my ability to dominate others. And if that doesn't work, I will use my authority to deputize as many fucking people as I need to meet force with overwhelming force.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So then, you've been requested by the powers that be to gather your coterie and come to Elysium. If the prince himself is writing you, it's fairly important.
Yeah, I fire off a text to Jonathan and Cor. I almost forgot his name.
You might not want to shoot off texts, because remember, the Camarilla does frown upon using technology to, like, talk with other kindred about kindred business, even...
Oh, I was just going to say, we have business tonight.
Sup, fam? Meet me at the theater house. We got work.
I was just going to say, we're expected in society tonight.
All right.
I know how to be subtle.
Okay. So, here's my question. He did say at your early convenience. So, do you want to go hunting first? Get that hunger down from 2 to 1.
I mean, it's just 2 hunger.
Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? All right. And then, what do you text your friend back?
Oh, what do I text Teresa back?
Yeah.
I text her that I would love to meet her for dinner sometime this month. Unfortunately, I have no family of my own, so Christmas is relatively free for me.
Okay. She'll reply back. That is, still makes me sad every time you say it, but okay. We'll hammer out a date at some point.
Teresa's a lovely lady.
She is.
I can't just, like, tell her no.
Well, she did say that she would understand because it's a busy time of month, so... But, like, at the same
that
time...
That doesn't matter.
All right. So then, Cor Satriano. You wake up and you're a little bit hungrier.
What else is new? Okay.
Yep.
How long has it been since our last little adventure?
2 years. Your last adventure took place
Yeah, your last adventure took place. It ended basically Halloween 2016, and it is now December 9th, 2018.
Okay. Well, like, I'm probably done unpacking by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, your ghouls are probably playing video games. There's one that's asleep, just so that way, you know, if you're hungry, you don't have to go out hunting if you don't want to.
You're on feedback duty.
Yep. But it is also that time of year when you are thinking what to get David as part of your so secret Santa he doesn't even know it's you gift.
David, my... was a great-grandson?
Yeah, great-grandson.
Who has never come up until this...
Well, I mean, like...
Colin?
Is that...
That is literally David Hayter. That is David Hayter.
God, fuck off.
You son of a
bitch. Anyway.
All right. So, disclosure, Colin asked us between...
Campaigns,
thank you. Word escaped me. To create a new... tie to the mortal world, and I just have a grandson, great grandson, who does not know who I am, but every Christmas I bring him a present, and as a result, he still thinks Santa exists. And then we had a whole goddamn joke about my son is apparently Solid Snake. And so now Colin has chosen to make David Yater my son. Grandson, great grandson.
Listen, it was too good of an inside joke to not do it.
And that was an outside joke. As it should be taken outside and left there, preferably in the trash.
Anyway, so, but yeah, it's that time of year.
What do I get my large adult great grandson? Who, what did we decide was his actual profession, not international super spy? Was it an emergency doctor, emergency medical surgeon?
It was an emergency room surgeon, essentially. Like, if somebody comes in completely fucking off, like, obliterated from a car crash, he's there.
Someone comes in with their blood mostly, you know, just, like, saturated, and she's like, they open their chest up, and there's a little neatly wrapped gift.
God, Santa got morbid this year.
It's an electric shaver! Yay! Oh, we've lost the patient. Oh well, I look great. Feel my face. It's so smooth. Now, feel my face. It's so smooth.
Feel my face.
Okay. I guess I am pondering that. And if I want to... Do I want to eat in or order out tonight?
If you want to order out, you have to roll for it. But
I'm just going to yell down the hall. One of you idiots is in your 30s. What do you like?
One guy goes, I mean, honestly, I haven't had to pay rent in a while because of the deal we have. But, like, man, if somebody would just, like, pay half of my rent for the month, I would be fine with that.
This motherfucker seriously went, just give him money.
No, it's pay my rent. Like, that's different.
I mean, the man is... he's a surgeon. He makes money. He's not hard up for cash.
They're all thinking in, I mean, one guy goes, I'm fine. In my 30s.
We've got a couple of months.
You mean days. Christmas is in, like, 3 weeks, boss.
Jesus, how long have I been asleep? No one woke me up. What the fuck?
Anyway, it's around this time you get the text from Salem. Hey, we've got business.
Delightful. All right.
The guy who used to be very eager, that one ghoul who was very eager and was just kind of new, he's calmed down a little bit about the whole being a ghoul thing, so he goes, you need a ride, boss?
I guess I'm not sure where to, though. They just said we need work.
I mean...
No, here's another one, okay. A separate text.
Yes, Elysium. You live a lot closer to Elysium now. If you see, I forgot to put everybody's player characters on the map, but like yours is right here, and Elysium's right there in the loop. So.
How close? Like a couple blocks? What are we talking?
Oh no, no, you're not a couple blocks. You just not walking distance, but it's like it used to be like a half. It used to be like a 50, this used to be like a 20-25 minute drive for you. Now it's like a 10.
Okay. Because I was going to say if it was like a close enough walk, close enough, I just walk there and see if I can pick up a bite on the way.
Nah. Yeah,
see, that's a vampire joke.
I get it. I get jokes.
Right, well, don't want to keep them waiting. They don't like to wait. I think immortal people would have more patience, but they really don't.
All right, Jonathan Ross, you wake up. You're feeling fine.
Yeah. I woke up an hour ago.
You did wake up an hour ago.
Something I just kind of do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it. You're just flexing your vampire muscles.
Well, they are explicitly my not vampire muscles.
True. Anna is currently awake and making breakfast for dinner for her. I mean, I guess it would be breakfast for her as well, because she's kind of on a weird schedule where she goes to sleep at like 4 in the morning. She is doing a lot better. The prince was true to their word, and when they said, hey, we're gonna get her like a psychiatrist and all the pills and like that she needs to like help her out, they were not lying. It is all like, you've not had to deal with anything with the insurance or the doctors, and she's still here, but she knows that's because you need her, and that's just part of your relationship. Like, she knows that you still very much need that anchor, and she's here for you.
And I am appreciative every single day. Although, today, I have somebody else on my mind. Or I guess tonight.
Who's that?
Yeah. You said it's been like 2 years?
Yeah.
Since we last followed these characters around. Mm-hmm. Well, in the intervening 2 years, I have made a point of going and hanging out with Luke.
Okay. Give me a second to roll Luke's fucking rouse check, then. But he also gets to roll twice because he is at humanity 8. Okay, yeah, he's not hungry either.
Nice. Yeah, I just, you know, considering I encouraged him not to be a full-blooded vampire, and I think his alchemy is really interesting, and also, wow, he could do with a shot of backbone, and also he's just generally kind of a nice dude.
Yeah.
It isn't exactly once a week, but it feels like once a week that I'm over at his place just to hang out.
It's one of those weird things where like you're immortal, so a week is kind of skewed for you, but yeah. And I will say this, I did give him experience points, and he leveled up his composure. He's no longer, like, completely, fucking just nervous all the time. He's only nervous sometimes.
Excellent.
So, Luke lives far enough away from you that, if you were to... Well, actually, no, because you wake up an hour earlier than everybody else, it would be an hour before you got that text message.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I still can't go out in the sun. I'm still a full-blooded vampire, so I still gotta wait for last light. But
hey, you know who can go out in the sun? We can go out in the sun for a little while.
Yeah, he can.
And if he gets in a car or like that has some pretty good tint in it, like he can stay out in the sun for quite a while.
I mean, if what you're setting up is he's come over to my place this evening.
Yeah, if you want him to, like if you shoot him a text like, hey, if you want to hang out, come on over. He would prefer going to your place anyway, because your place is a lot nicer than his.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, he literally has the merit where he can only takes aggravated damage like once every 5 minutes in direct sunlight.
Yeah, okay. If it's known that he prefers he come to me rather than I go to him, yeah, I'll invite him over. Just be like, yo, you want to hang out tonight?
He'll send over a thumbs up and he'll show up at your place. It's partly that he prefers going over to your place and partly that he's embarrassed when you come over to his place because his place is not very good. Like I said, he used to live in Englewood, which was not a great place to live. It's got a lot of problems with crime and such. He now lives in Gage Park, which is still really South Chicago, so it still has a lot of the same problems that Englewood has. So he's kind of embarrassed whenever you come over, because his place is, one, not that great, and two, like, just, there's so much crime, and he knows that you could take on anything that the mortals could throw at you, because you're a fucking vampire, whatever, but he would still prefer, like, you not take that risk.
See, you say all of that, but he lives real close to Annabelle.
He does. He's actually in Annabelle's territory, if I recall correctly. I think he's in Annabelle's. Yeah, he's right in Annabelle's territory. He's also pretty close to... Who's blue?
Yvonne.
He's also pretty close to Yvonne. And Yvonne would probably... be a little more amicable towards Thin Bloods than most of the Camarilla because she's basically a step removed from Anarch anyway.
Hmm.
And Anarchs tend to get along with the Thin Bloods a little better.
Where am I on this map? I can't find myself.
I forgot to put you and Salem on there. So okay. I'll do that before the next session. But you're up like in Old Town and Gold, like around here-ish.
Oh, I live in fucking Rick Ward's backyard.
Yeah,
great.
You live pretty much right next to Rick Ward.
Great. Super. Mm-hmm. Love that. Love being around that guy. Sure he loves me being around him.
Yup. Every once in a while he sees the smoke coming up from the grill on your roof and in just complete breach of the masquerade, he shouts, just drink some blood like a normal person, asshole! He does not do that. He wishes he could.
Then I load up a water balloon with potato salad and hush it at his house.
That takes some fucking effort, too. You gotta, like, sit there and jam the little pieces of potato and egg into the balloon. That takes, like, 10 minutes to get enough in there to burst. You are all proper right. Mad at this dude. That's like Jesus sitting down and braiding up a whip when he sees the moneylenders in the temple. That is a level of anger where you just are dedicated.
Anyway. So you two are hanging out, and he's basically just shooting the shit with you, talking to you about him and his boyfriend. And then that's when you get the text saying, we have work, and then a separate text says, basically says at Elysium. It's coded, but it just basically says at Elysium.
I posted what I literally sent.
You did?
Which was, we are expected in society tonight at our earliest convenience, which is very much code for the prince wants us.
Okay.
Fucking look at my phone and like all the energy and light drains out of my face.
Sweetie, can you come here and finish loading this balloon with potato salad?
Luke looks at you and goes, oh, it's one of those nights, huh?
Oh. And I know how Salem talks well enough by now to know that, this is some big shit. Love that.
Here's my question, Chloe. Would you also send that text to Luke? Would you consider him part of your coterie?
wouldn't consider him part of the, like, coterie. Like, Luke is somebody I think Salem would consider an ally, but they wouldn't, like, drag Luke along to the boring shit, I guess.
Okay.
It'd just be like, Luke is somebody who is more competent than people expect, even if a little helpless sometimes.
They are technically an honorary 13th gen, because they were given the option to legally commit Dialbre when they are ready to become a full-fledged vampire.
Right.
They haven't done it yet, but...
Right. And yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, it's not that I wouldn't include Luke, it's that I'm not going to drag Luke along to boring business meetings if it's not necessary.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm not close friends with Luke, but I still like Luke.
Okay. So yeah, Luke does not get the text, so at that point he's like, well, okay, well, if you guys need me, I guess I'm gonna head on out and just hit the town.
I fucking elbow him in the ribs. You don't... Like, I'm gonna be out. You don't gotta, like, shove off, dude.
No, but, like, if, I mean... He looks up, he's like, I don't want to impose on Anna, and Anna looks over at him and goes, you're not imposing, you can stay. He's like, okay, fine, I guess I'll stay. How dare you show me hospitality? Eh.
How old is Luke, by the way?
Oh, God, I forgot. He was young when he was embraced. Did I write down exactly how old he was when he was embraced? Probably not. So, you know what? I'm gonna say he was like in his his early 20s, and he was only embraced fairly recently because that's just how thin bloods are. They are like fairly recent.
All right.
So he probably died when he was like 24, and he's probably only like 27 or 28.
Okay. Well, I'm like 40 now, so it isn't too weird for me to ruffle his hair as I get up. I've got 20 years on this kid.
He's like, listen, we look the same age. You don't have to treat me like a kid.
Fucking poke him a little bit. I know. And you're so precious about it.
He's, oh my God.
Hey, after I get done with this, I want to link back up. I got a project that I've been trying to work on, and I've hit a huge dead end, and I think you're the one I want to talk to.
Okay, sure.
And I'll lace up my shoes.
All right.
I'll wait until after we eat.
Okay.
Because if Anna's cooking, I'm not just gonna fucking ditch her when she's made enough portions.
Right. So, and it did say at your earliest convenience. So. All right.
Well, that's Prince talk for get your fuck ass over here, but I'm going to be a prince about it.
Get all over right. Here. I'm not going to say immediately, but fucking don't lollygag.
Yeah. All right. So Anna manages to finish the meal like fairly soon before everybody else like wakes up. So like you're not too long. Doing it, you're closer to Elysium than even Core is. I think Salem's also like fairly in like the fairly well-to-do area of town, so it doesn't take you all long to meet at Elysium. Now, here's my question: does Core want to do the thing?
Oh, you fucking know I want to do the thing.
Oh boy!
I was gonna ask you if you didn't ask me first.
Roll Dex plus Stealth.
And I'm rolling.
No modifiers.
Well, good.
I think it's wit plus awareness. That's three successes.
Versus three.
Three. So,
how
do I want to handle
highs? They technically, with a 9, 9, 10, beat my 9, 8, 10.
But you got a 2 and I got a 1.
So it's
actually almost... But those are the only success rolls. Those are the success rolls, which were the ones...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Jonathan, I like to think Jonathan just like turns around at the exact same, at the exact right time, just like says something that's like, I fucking knew you're going to do that shit.
You're getting better.
Fucking turn around, point directly at the bridge of your nose. Don't even say anything, just staring at you.
I suppose at some point you had to catch on. Good on you.
Look, think of it this way. Take it as cause to start innovating. Come up with something new.
You got it.
I like to think this has been happening the same exact way for the past 2 years, and you just keep acting like it's the first time to save face.
Hi, Salem. How you been?
Oh, you know, I keep busy.
How's surfing going?
Well, city hasn't burned down yet. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Keep an eye on those cows. We'll get you every time.
Oh, speaking of the city burning down, has anybody checked the news recently?
Colin, we're in the city. We know.
I mean, it depends.
I will say yes.
Okay.
I will check the news because I don't know. I feel like I need to be abreast of current situations as part of like my job.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll for this if as long as your character has been paying attention to the news. There has been a person that the news has just been identifying only as the Fennec because nobody knows their real identity. They have been going around and assassinating people and then like burning their residences. Nobody knows like what the motive is or what the connection is behind all of the victims. If there even is a connection, it might not even be the same person. Something's going on, and they occasionally leave a calling card. Is just a fucking like picture of a fox like spray painted somewhere, like at some of the arson sites.
I don't remember what the name of the main character in Watch Dogs is.
Aiden.
Nobody does.
Aiden.
He doesn't
Pierce.
Have a name. He's a piece of white bread with a hat. Not even good.
An
white
iconic
bread.
Cap.
Wonder.
Excuse
bread.
You.
Honestly, his fucking 5 coats are more iconic than his hat.
Yeah, it really are.
Colin, I have an actual in-game question.
Mm-hmm.
So, did Virgin Neo, now that he's the Primogen, or
Prince,
not the Primogen Prince? Did he, like, restart the Black Hand?
No.
Okay.
He did not. He agreed with the Black Hand being disbanded. It was his idea to disband the Black Hand.
Okay, it's been a bit. I don't remember
I know,
things.
I know, but he did reinstitute the position of Scourge, which he gave to Stank Eye, because Stank Eye makes a much better Scourge than he does a Sheriff.
Yeah. The whole incredible violence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cora, what the fuck are you talking about? Cows?
Because I'm the sheriff.
They said the city burning down and there was the cow that kicked the lantern over that burned down Chicago.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you would have been around for that, huh?
Wasn't that that was the 18? I'm from the 20s. How old are you? I'm not that old.
Sure. As you say.
Damned whippersnappers.
Alright, anyway, y'all are at Elysium, just hanging around outside and catching back up.
I imagine we're walking and talking.
Okay, alright. So, you get in, and on the stage is a familiar setup. You see a couple of the Primogens there. Obviously, fucking Rick Ward is not going to be there due to things that you add a character are going to know very soon in character.
He's a shit.
Yeah, I will say that it is the Prince who is there, along with Malkavia Prime, Annabelle, and Fishface.
I wave at Fishface.
Fishface gives a little wave back.
are matching sets.
Yep.
Nice.
I did not even mean for that to happen. I just chose three Primogen at random who were not record. Malkavia Prime looks over at Montanaro, and Montanaro goes, "It's not impressive. You do it every time." And Malkavia Prime just shrugs. Annabelle looks over at you, and over at you, Jonathan, and goes, "Hello, little Noel. How are you this night?"
"Well, I had a delicious breakfast, and I got to spend about an hour with a buddy. So better than average."
"Wonderful, wonderful."
"I'm a little bit down about having to be here at all, but I could be worse."
"Not my idea, Jonathan. You know I try to keep you out of it as much as possible, except for our little fun experiments."
"And I do appreciate the restraint."
Montanaro goes, "If we're all finished exchanging pleasantries," and Fishface goes, "Oh, but I didn't get a chance to say hello to my great grand progeny, I think it is. What generation are you again, Cor?"
"12th.
"Oh, let's see. Great great grand progeny, then.
Lovely to see you as well. I trust the sewers are keeping well."
"As well as they ever do."
"To hear."
And actually, on the, like, sitting on her shoulder is a, it's just like a fucking crow. And it just, like, occasionally, like, nips at her, like, ear, and she just, like, just sort of, like, stretches its head a little bit. That's her current familis. She goes through a couple of them because she occasionally eats them.
Like, sometimes you're hungry and you don't want to leave the house.
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody, you know, calls you out on something, you have to eat crow. It happens.
Christ. I nod respectfully at crow.
I think you would know better than to ask its name, because Fishface does not name her familises, because
she eats them.
You don't name what you don't want to get attached to.
It's fine. I have no interest in knowing the name anyways.
I'm gonna call it Drinky.
Anyway, Montanaro just sort of sighs and goes, "Anyway, I'm glad to see you, Sheriff. And I'm glad to see that you have brought your coterie. We have several matters that we are going to need to discuss."
"Of course."
"Quite simply put, the city is about to be thrown into massive amounts of chaos. And I sort of foresaw each of these happening individually. What I did not see was them all happening all at once."
"Well, they do say when it rains, it pours."
"Indeed. The first order of business is that the Second Inquisition has decided to come to our fair city. I tried to keep I kept the bribes going, but without Pils' former contacts, I was not able to keep them at bay forever. So, as a result, they are here, and they are currently hunting us down. We at least know they are here and hunting us down, which is a fair sight better than, say, New York, or maybe even L.A. I'm not sure what the situation is in L.A. That's mostly an anarch city."
"God, we don't want a repeat of the Paris situation."
"Second of all, the reason why Rick Ward is currently not among us is because he is currently declaring Praxis. He has decided to openly challenge my position here as prince, and as such, has basically declared civil war."
I want to say that when Rick Ward comes up, Salem, instead of the, like, usual, like, fucking placidness that Salem is usually going on, Salem fucking frowns.
Yep.
Cor has, like, you know, a palm on his forehead, just like, "God, really?"
"Yes, really." I think it's because... I think he knows because I have my plate full that he's doing this.
Does he ex... he knows he's not going to get out of this unscathed.
No, but no prince usually ever does. I was very lucky in that respect.
I think, but do not say out loud. Yeah, that's because you full throat got someone else to do it for you.
Exactly.
That's what makes a good prince.
He doesn't have the he doesn't have the backing. No one's going to follow Rick Ward. He's a moron. I mean, I... Not to be crude, but he's an idiot.
I agree. He only got the position because of nepotism, and I only allowed him to keep it because it was better than trying to replace him with someone else who needed to learn the whole thing. Third of all, the Sabbat have rumored to have come into the city. Fishface sort of nods and says, I managed to get an ear out, and they are apparently starting to move some pieces to get a chunk of the city for themselves. I don't think they're planning on taking the whole thing, but they definitely want a hold, a small hold, to sort of expand throughout for the next few years. Luckily for us, unlike the last time, they're not quite as sneaky about it. However, this time the incursion is also much, much smaller. I believe it's only like one or two, which does bring me some worry why only two at most Sabbat would be here. And then Virginia says, and then finally, the Anarchs are officially declaring territory at this point. Territory that does not belong to them. I very much want this to remain a Camarilla city. However, there's not much that I can do with all this going on, and my more lax attitude towards them has emboldened them. Which, to be fair, I would much rather have them with us than against us at this point, considering both the Second Inquisition and the Sabbat and the impending Civil War.
Hey, question out of character.
Mm-hmm.
The territory that they're taking over, is it LeGrand's territory?
No, if you open up the territory map, I will click show to players for you. Those Ooh. Red squares inside those various territories are the territories that are quote unquote official. They're not official yet, but depending on how long you guys take to deal with the Anarchs, it could very much become actually. Yeah, those are the hot spots. They very much could become official depending on how long you take.
So, for the folks at home, there's a spot in Westside, a spot on the Illinois Medical District, a spot in McKinley Park, a spot just south of Brighton Park, a spot on Englewood, a spot on Grand Boulevard, and a spot on South Fork, South Branch, Chicago River.
Yeah, it's like somewhere, it's like sort of in Bridgeport, I think.
Okay. I have like an idea, but I'm not sure if Core would be keen enough to like come up with this. Because he's not the strategic type. So like what just occurred to me like now is that we, and by we, I mean Virgin Nero, offers the anarchists a deal. Like, okay, listen, we've got two different problems breathing down our neck right now. If you help me deal with one of these problems, those being, you know, the Inquisition and the Sabbat, we'll give you some territory.
I mean, he would probably be up for that, but
yeah, but like, would my character Core be clever enough to arrive at that? Like, I have three intelligence and two wits, and also I have like
roll intelligence plus wits, and I'll set the difficulty at three.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Insight doesn't really cover that. That's
no. You can roll a stat with a stat.
Okay, I'm just trying to like think if there's anything better that would be.
Okay.
Investigation. I have two in investigation. No. I'm just trying to like think of what's more thematically appropriate: intelligence and wits.
Yeah, just roll intelligence plus wits.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, you got 5 successes. Yeah, you'd be smart enough to think of that. But hold on. Let him finish what he's saying. Right. And so he continues and he goes, "So, as a result, I am going to keep my best to keep my superiors out of the city to solve this problem, to solve these problems forcibly and perhaps even replace me as prince forcibly, while you all handle them for me. And the reason I have selected you is because you obviously have shown the ability to get things done."
Alright, after doing one thing and then fucking around for 2 years.
Kor's doing that thing where he's tapping on his finger with his chin.
I imagine that you guys have been doing other stuff. It's just, like, not of note. It wasn't important enough for us to run adventures about over them.
So he's just suddenly, he's doing that thing where he taps his finger against his chin, you know, and he's obviously thinking. And then he looks up.
My prince, if I may propose a bold action for bold times.
Proceed.
If the anarchists are vying for territory, maybe we make them the deal. We have the Sabbat and the Second Inquisition breathing down our neck. Perhaps we pit our friends against our foes. If they assist us with dealing with one of our problems, we offer them territory. I realize that this is a bit drastic, but as you said, it's a situation.
Yes.
We do have a stretch of territory that's not going to have a primogen very long.
I mean, they could. Like, you could talk him out of it, and he could still have that territory. Well,
Rick Ward's territory is nice territory.
I've talked also Rick nice territory. Ward out of doing something stupid once. He has run out of excuses.
All right. So here's what I want you to do, Kor. Go ahead and roll me manipulation plus, I would guess, persuasion, which I guess is for you is just straight manipulation. But go ahead and give yourself 3 extra dice, because that's a very compelling argument. And what I will do is I will roll probably composure plus leadership for Montanaro.
Okay.
Oh, hey. Dang. Dang, yeah. Okay. composure, I wanted to say. So, no modifiers.
5 successes.
5 successes. With a tie, Virgin Nero is intelligent
enough.
He doesn't
like it.
He doesn't like it, but he will.
You can convince him to play ball. All right.
Yeah. He obviously makes a face at that. He goes, "Desperate times, I suppose. If that is how you want to deal with the Anarch problem, then by all means, deal with it that way. But however you want to go about dealing with these problems, I leave that up to you. I consider them all equal importance. So the order in which you take care of these does not matter to me."
It's not an ideal solution, I admit that, but it might buy us the time we need to deal with the rest of these before they come knocking at our door.
Correct.
The trick will be getting the anarchists to actually play ball.
That is the trick, isn't it?
Hey, if you, you set up the territory you give them between Primogen's Long and the Grand, you're putting the Anarchs in the middle of the effective Anarchs, might be able to bring them into the fold at some point.
Anyway, discuss among yourselves how you wish to deal with these problems. Please give me regular updates, and do keep in mind, the longer one problem goes unsolved, the more difficult it will become to solve it later.
Of course, my prince.
Unless you have any questions, that is all.
Jonathan did raise the excellent point of putting them between Legrand and Long would be to our benefit, but I, of course, would defer to you on any possible territories that they could receive as a gift.
Well, that is definitely a potential area. However, depending on how you deal with the current would-be contender to the throne, I might be inclined, if they are amicable and if they are willing to bend some of their ways to ours, I might be willing to give them rewards, depending on how you take care of him. I don't care how you take care of him, by the way. You can kill him, you can talk him down, you can run him out of town for all I care. I just don't want any more talks about a civil war against me.
I understand. As you wish.
My prince, I apologize if this comes off as second-guessing you. I know you just said that you don't care, but do you have a replacement for him lined up? Not having a Ventru Primogen in order could contribute to the destabilization of the city.
I do have a replacement in mind for him, yes.
Very good. Well, don't care if... don't care how we handle Ward. We'll figure out what needs to be done about the spot once we figure out why there's so few of them and what they're actually here to do. There's no point in asking questions about that right now. Do you know who's the head of the encroaching anarchs, my prince?
They don't really have the same sort of structure that we do. They don't have a prince. They have a loose collection of barons, but no baron is truly in charge of any of the anarchs, or really any of the territories that they claim. They just mostly rule because the anarchs there agree that they rule, as opposed to they rule due to a strict social hierarchy.
I understand. So then I will re-ask the question. Do you know the identities of any barons who are in with the encroaching anarchs?
Let me have him roll intelligence plus politics, which he's actually fairly good at. So I will say for like every success, he knows one of the anarch barons. So he knows three barons. He would definitely know one firsthand for reasons. So let me roll randomly the other two that he would know. So how many did I have? 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's 7, one for each clan. So let me roll a d6. 3, so... okay, so he goes, one of them is a Toreador by the name of Chandra Freeman. And all that stuff that says politics role required or like streetwise role required, like that stuff that even he doesn't know, he would not be able to give that to you.
Got to go out and find it ourselves with the appropriate roles in the appropriate situations.
Right, correct. And then let me roll a d5 because she has been needed. D5. 3 again. So, and then he goes, then there's a Nosferatu by the name of Harlem Greaves. And finally, there's a Tremere by the name of Calvin Barnes.
Look at this dude.
That sure is a wizard-ass looking vampire.
Part of Calvin Barnes is played by Jared Leto.
No, there's no damage tattoo.
That we can see.
Are you sure? Like, maybe that just says damaged. It's like one of those tattoos that's just like a kanji that someone is like, oh, this means strength. Really, it means like, fucking rubbish. Means recyclable.
Do not put in microwave.
anyway, so he gives you the names at least. He does not give you, and he also gives you like the clans, so you kind of know what to look for, especially like in Nosferatu, you know, you just have to look for a real fucked up dude. And be like, hey, are you Harlem Greaves?
You look fucked up. Are you a Nosferatu? No, I'm just naturally ugly.
No, I was just born this way.
I thought that if I swam in a vat of acid, I would get superpowers, and turns out you just get horribly disfigured.
Oh, is that how Calvin ended up looking like that?
All right, well, names are good. Names are good. We can ask about names. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're still using those names in the cities. You have any information on the Second Inquisition? Base of operations? Number of field units? Anything we can use to get started?
Let me have him roll. We'll do intelligence plus investigation. Why not? With a 2, I will give him one thing that he knows about them. He goes, the only thing that I know is that there's an operative by the name of Frederick Steele.
I am unable to keep the look of, there's no fucking way that's not a fake name, off my face. It's a real fucking really look.
Known enemies, all vampires.
Montanero just sort of shrugs and is like, that's his name. That's the name I've called him.
I don't doubt you, sir. Just...
You're just looking at me here, that's all.
That's... I shoot the tiniest look at Annabelle. That's a name I would expect one of us to be assigned.
She goes, the Second Inquisition are full of themselves, darling.
Of course. Not even gonna comment on the fucking name she gave me.
And at this point, Fishface actually reaches into one of the many, many folds in her very fancy dress, and pulls out a folder and just like starts thumbing through some stuff, and then pulls out a picture, and you see that picture that is on his handout, which for the people at home is a white male. He's got some very nice like shortcut hair. The picture that he's currently in, there's some blood splattered on some windows, there's some blood splattered on him. He's wearing a white shirt with a black tie. Looks like there should be some sort of jacket over it that he's not currently wearing. And he's like got tattoos on his arms and like gloves and such. Balancing a knife on his leg, it looks like.
Being hunted by David Bowie.
So I take it and I stare at it and I'm like, huh. With a name like that, I didn't expect him to be hot. And I pass the picture over to someone else.
Child of Conan O'Brien and David Bowie. Anyone else see that? Anyone? Just me?
I see it.
I don't care if you're joking or not. I choose to believe that's true.
No. That is in character.
All right. Well, a name and a face is a good thing to start with. That's everything I can think to ask.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions?
I have a question that is conditional on this thing I'm looking up being... Okay, we do know where Rick Ward's lair is.
Yes, you do know where his lair is. The only one whose lair you are unsure of 100% is Stankai. Like, it says it's estimated in that area, but it can be fucking anywhere in the loop because he lives in the tunnels that were underground.
He's some sort of fucking cryptid. Got it?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a question.
Hmm.
Do we know any of Ward's major supporters among the Ventru?
Montanero goes, obviously, Gary Olson is going to be one of them. They are fairly close. In fact, Gary Olson's only real ally within the Primogen is Rick Ward. So I imagine that if Rick Ward disappears, Gary Olson will not be far behind, either by choice or because someone else will forcibly replace him. Otherwise, I believe he's trying to warm up to some of the other Primogen. Now, Kavia Prime goes, yes, he has already propositioned us. I didn't know that, because we chose not to tell you until this moment.
That wasn't quite the question I asked, but okay.
And then Virginio Montanaro tears out Malkavia Prime's heart for being a fuckhead.
No, Malkavia Prime can get away with it because he and Malkavia Prime are kind of friends. They're both weirdos, so they're both huge fucking weirdos. Old fucking weirdos too, so. But I mean that's the answer for the Primogen.
Yeah, I was asking about the Ventru specifically, though.
Oh, the Ventru. Okay.
Right, because Rick Ward is a Ventru, so I want to know if we know anything about the internal politics of the Ventru.
Let me roll for that, then, because that's not something he would know just off the bat, potentially. So, again, this is going to probably be intelligence plus into politics.
Oh, I'm not very good at that.
No, for Montanaro. I'm rolling for Montanaro.
Oh, I thought you were asking me to roll. I was like, well, I don't have a fucking clue. That's why I asked.
No, I'm rolling to see if Montanaro knows. Considering that's 7 successes on... How many dice is that? 7? I think that's 7. So yeah, he 7 successes on 7 dice. He goes, as far as I can tell, he has quite a bit of support behind him in the Ventru. However, that being said, I'm sure there's some other ulterior motives. There's never a 100% noble or selfless reason to throw yourself behind someone. So, whether they are throwing themselves behind him because he has promised them things, or they are throwing themselves behind him because they fear him, or throwing themselves behind him to get back at me for deposing a prince that treated them well, I cannot say.
Okay. I wanted like specific names because like basically I want to go for his fucking supporters, because his supporters are gonna know if he has gone to ground somewhere else rather than his very publicly known lair. But we may just have to ask a Ventru. Or maybe we'll just go to his very publicly known lair and I'll burn it to the ground. One of the two.
Spray paint a fox on the balls.
Yeah, that is something we should probably look into. That seems important. Okay.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, this would be something we would know. Like, the news wouldn't know, obviously, but we would. Are the residences that are getting arsoned, are they vampire houses?
That's the question I was waiting for you all to ask ever since I said that it was fucking...
I was going to ask, and then something happened which completely derailed my train of thought.
Roll me intelligence plus, I'll say, occult. Anybody who wants to make that check.
Like, just one person gets to roll it, or everybody gets to roll it if they want?
Everybody gets to roll it if they want.
Okay. I'm rolling
occult.
4 dice here.
Intelligence plus...
I got a success.
You can burn your willpower if you want to re-roll 3.
I got...
Or Salem can fucking know.
I just... We have like the same dice, and it's just an equally chance that one of us is going to roll it.
Yeah. Alright. So, Salem, you, like... It dawns on you as you are going through like the names and the resonances. Yeah, yeah, the Fennec is exclusively hitting either vampires or people associated with vampires, like ghouls, stuff like that.
That's concerning.
I smell a side quest.
That means the Fennec is either Sabbat, an Anarch, part of the Second Inquisition, or is contracted to one of them.
Man, now I regret hanging up on him.
Actually, he hung up on you.
Well, now I regret not playing ball.
just Star 69. I don't remember what that one does. Is that the one that redials people?
Yeah.
I don't think that works on Skype.
And also, if you load up your Skype, like, immediately, like, after you leave, if you load up your Skype on, like, your phone and try to find your contacts from, like a random conversation from 2 years ago that you had, that name has not logged on in 2 years.
I mean, it wasn't my computer, it was blue screens.
I thought you used your computer to, Okay.
She brought her fucking laptop in when we were hacking the bank accounts.
Okay. I thought it was you using your laptop to do stuff. Okay, never mind. I misremembered. Okay. Anyway, point is, that name will definitely not have logged on in 2 years.
All right, well, that's something we should figure out, probably. All right, players, any other questions?
I kind of covered my singular question.
What's for lunch?
People.
A positive.
Was this humanely sourced? I say, rolling a blood pack around in my hand.
It was humanly sourced.
There's a very important vowel that you're missing there.
Anyway,
it's kind of important.
Anyway, if it sounds like nobody has any more questions, correct?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm out of questions.
All right, so before we started the campaign proper, I did ask them to choose which of these they wanted to do, and it was a vote 2-1 on doing the Civil War thing first.
See, I voted that, not having the context of the session that we're in. I know it's kind of a dick move, but I want to change my vote to the Anarchs. It seems like it'd be real useful to get them on our side from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, like, in context of getting the Anarchs on our side, I also could see that.
Yeah, pointing them at one of our enemies, and then we go deal with a Civil War situation. Sorry, Colin.
Shit's fine.
Fucked.
No, it's not fucked. I had plans for all of them to start out with. Basically
we're
all
forcing
of them
you to improv.
Yeah, like, not even improv, just, like, I mostly prepared one way, and now you're just, it's not as prepared this other way, but it's still somewhat prepared. Basically, each part had a starting point, and the longer you ignore those starting points, the more they evolve. So, yeah, going with the Anarchs is fine. Like, if you just want to change gears now and go after the Anarchs, go for it.
I would like to go after the Anarchs.
Use the Anarchs to slow down one of our two enemies in Second Inquisition or the Sabbat, and then we go deal with the Civil War situation.
Yeah, real talk, having an incursion force of Anarchs, like, they've got to have a bunch of people to be a real threat. If we could just, like, turn them into a search force to locate the fistful of Sabbat in the city, that'd be great. That'd be great for them to get started on it for us while we focus on other things.
Okay,
devious suggestion here, but, like, yeah, if we point them at the Sabbat, Anarchs might actually draw out the Second Inquisition, and, like, best possible case scenario, the Anarchists find the Sabbat, and then the Second Inquisition kills all the Anarchists.
I don't think they're going to kill all the Anarchs, but...
Enough the Anarchs to make them, like, a non-threat.
Well, the thing is, the Anarchs aren't really exact, I mean, like, I don't know how Colin has it, but like the lore as written or whatever is Anarchs are more like they freely associate and they are more anarchist, yeah.
Yeah.
Rather like, than having like a strict power hierarchy and like
yeah, things like that. The Baron is a name that is more earned than given. And most Baron, and like depending on the Baron, they either love the name or they're like, please don't call me Baron. I fucking despise that. It really just depends
fucking
on
community leader.
Baron yeah. was my father. Call me Cubburn.
I get it. Also, fuck off.
I don't.
All right, so here's the question. Which of these Anarchs do you want to go find? Because you do have Calvin Barnes, you have Chandra Freeman, and you have Harlem Greaves.
Oh,
you know who else we
well,
know is an Anarch?
I mean, yeah. Find, we could go fucking talk to Father Singleton again.
Camilla.
So here's my thought is... Which of these is going to be the most difficult once we find them? Let's not start with them.
That's a good question. Roll me wits and politics to figure out which one would be the most difficult to deal with.
All right. Well, this seems like an important bit of information to have, so I'm going to rouse.
Okay.
I successfully rouse. And I have 3 points of politics. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Wow.
You can burn willpower.
I'm gonna willpower reroll.
Yeah.
Hey, two more. So that's a total of three.
With a three, I will tell you that you know for a fact that Calvin Barnes and Prince Virginio do not get along, and that is mostly on Calvin's end. Virginio could not care one way or another about Calvin. Calvin basically despises Virginio for reasons that are unclear to you.
Also, he looks like a jackass. I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I kind of imagine they've got a relationship where it's like, you're my archenemy. Who are you?
Pretty much. Actually, no, it would not be that, but it's kind of the same vibe. It's you're my archenemy.
Sure, whatever, buddy. Goes back to whatever they were doing.
Wow, you think very highly of yourself.
It is I, Calvin Barnes, your mortal foe.
That's nice. I'm busy. If you could go, please get killed by my minions. That would be just lovely.
Anyway, okay.
But with a three, I will not give you who's the most amicable to talk to between Chandra and Harlem.
Okay.
So the Nosferatu in lore tend to be pretty street smart.
Also, since you are a Nosferatu core, I will give you this. Nosferatu, even between faction lines, tend to stick together. Like, if you go to Harlem, he will see you as a fellow Nosferatu, not as a Camarilla Nosferatu.
Okay. So I vote for Harlem, then.
I mean, that sounds like an end to me.
Like, the lore for this Nosferatu is that they're survivors. My hope for this is that he'll see this as like, okay, yeah, that's actually a pretty solid deal.
We're gonna have to talk to all of them, aren't we?
Yeah, but he's. We gotta get our foot in the door somewhere, and he's, I think, in my opinion, best option right now. So, one vote for Harlem.
You know what? When I got out of bed this evening, I didn't have it in my heart to deal with Corridor horseshit.
That's a shame because technically, even though his blood is so thin that it doesn't make a difference, Luke is technically Toreador.
But it doesn't make a difference. He doesn't have the horse shit.
He technically does have the horse shit a little bit. That's one of his that's one of his flaws.
Minimal horse shit with that boy. That's why we get on so well. We're both committed to minimal horse shit. All right. I'm also down for Harlem.
All right.
Not that it matters, but I'm down for Harlem.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So, next you gotta figure out where the fuck he is.
Who's got the best streetwise roll?
Streetwise? I mean, I can do, like... I can, like, try to hunt him down. I have no streetwise, but I can...
I also have zero streetwise.
If you can bend how you would hunt him down, I might...
Okay, so, like, I have investigation, two and investigation, but I also have, like, two and intimidation, so I figure... I can either, like, try to suss it out, or I can just find an anarchist and just, like, scare them.
Hang them upside down on the roof of a building and ask,
"What do you know, Jokers? Where are the drugs?
Where's Harlem? You're in it!"
Wait, that's cool. I will say this. Intimidation, like, trying to scare an anarchist would be more in character.
Probably
before,
not the greatest idea, but if we are... trying to, you know, use diplomacy.
Right, exactly. So you might want to roll investigation instead.
I know I literally just brought this up. Hey, we know an anarch. What if we see if Father Singleton can set up a meeting for us?
That seems like a good place to start.
Okay.
IMO.
All right. So yeah, you head to the church bar that basically has no name. It was the church in McKinley Park that is always playing the fucking, like, drum and bass dance music. It's a similar scene to last time. It's just full of people. There's a DJ up at the front. Salem, you've probably played here multiple times by now.
I think you've literally said that last time, too.
Well, yeah, but, like, even in the, like, intervening 2 years. So you and Father Singleton are actually probably pretty close by now, since you know he's a vampire.
Yeah, we were amicable last time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably done a few gigs on the side.
And I'm not even going to make you roll for it. If you ask where the where Father Singleton is, he is currently in the confession booth.
Is that a euphemism?
No. There's literally a confession booth that he goes to. His whole thing is people come to him to confess their sins, and then they go out and they sin some more.
But also, yes, it's a euphemism because he drinks.
Do this whole fucking bit where somebody has to go into the fucking confession booth.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Sorry, Daddy, I've been naughty.
Oh God, I want Cor to go in there and say that.
Fine, done.
Okay, because yeah, you guys had a pretty good chat last time about his belief system, even though you think it's fucking stupid as hell, but he explained himself fairly well, I think. And then he does the thing that you're not supposed to, where he looks over between the little bits that are, like, supposed to separate you, and he goes,
there's a little thing that, like, you can, I believe there's, like, a little, like, separator thing that you can, like, pull open.
Yeah.
It's like an eye hole so you can look in.
Yeah, so he pulls that open and he goes, oh.
I am giving the biggest, toothiest grin I possibly can, which for an Osferatu was big and toothy.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I thought that was you. There's not many people who would come in here and say that. Well,
there are a lot of people that would come in here and say that.
Actually, there's a lot of them. I hear that actually a lot.
There's actually an increasing amount these days. But not in the way that you say it.
Thank you. To be proud of my temper.
Anyway, what can I do for you, my son?
We just have a simple question.
I may have a simple answer.
We need to get in contact with an Anarch Baron. Particularly, I believe his name was, hold on, Harlem Greaves.
Ah, Harlem Greaves. Harlem currently trying to claim a bit of territory in the Illinois Medical District. Of course, he's not actually... He doesn't actually work at the hospital. His current disfigurements, if you forgive my, if you forgive the wording, prevent him from really operating too openly. He does, however, make the occasional house call at his home.
I don't suppose you have a home address for him.
I do not, but as far as I'm aware, he's easy enough to find on the internet.
Oh, the fucking internet. That's the one place we didn't look.
Well, I mean...
Vampires, we're stuck in our
ways. Didn't check harlemgreaves at gmail.com.
Wait. He's a medical professional who does house calls and has an internet listing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm.
Call it, I'm calling for shit.
No, he has an explanation. Trust me, he has an explanation.
Alright, it better be real fucking good.
Dr. Acula at fucking geocities.com.
Well, that's an explanation and more a cover story, so.
I lost the fight with the lawnmower.
Pretty close.
Alright, what's his fucking field? Okay. Is it a homeopathic medicine or something?
No, he's like a legitimate doctor, honestly.
Anesthesiologist.
More of a hemopathic medication.
He's not an anesthesiologist. He's like a general practitioner.
I mean, when you're a fucking, like, 10th generation vampire, you've probably been around long enough to know quite a fucking bit and call yourself a general practitioner that just knows a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, you look him up and yeah, you find a hit where it's like a little house with it's just basically a sign out on the front. And it's fucking weird hours, but you know this weird hours because he's a vampire. So
question, Colin.
Hmm.
How long has this listing been there? Like on the internet?
A couple years, we'll say.
Okay. So what I'm fishing for here, to be clear, is mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out if this motherfucker is, like, from Chicago. Because I've been picturing the Anarchs as this, like, outsiders coming in.
No, they've always... Like, Anarchs have always been in Chicago. They've just were mostly quiet and, like, kind of kept their heads down because, like, if they got... too rowdy, then Pilsner sent Stank Eye after them.
Okay, so... Alright, I get it.
Yep.
They're like Democrats in a small town.
Ow.
Look, it was a good metaphor, okay?
Yes, it's just... Ow.
Though. Everyone just assumes that they're Camarilla unless they say something.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if we have this motherfucker's home address, we might as well just go knock on this motherfucker's front door. Maybe put Salem in front, since they can do all the talking.
Salem is the sheriff.
Maybe the sheriff showing up at the front door isn't the best option, actually.
No, like, if you're just knocking at the front door saying you have an offer from the prince, that's, like, probably the best shot. Just straight up walk to this dude's door, knock and say, we have a deal we'd like to offer you.
I'm here to negotiate on behalf of the prince.
Okay, yeah.
You're the sheriff. Your word carries weight.
You've also got better dice than I do. Significantly.
You are the talky one.
I can do the talk. Doing talky is the thing I do.
Alright, yeah, so you had... So,
Kar
yeah.
is the fighty one, and I'm the... Well, I'm
kind of
useless.
You're the operation. The only one that thinks to ask questions.
Yeah.
Except my investigation is shit.
Anyway, so yeah, you head to Harlem's place, and you knock on the door, and eventually the door opens, and you see this man who comes up to you. He looks like he's a fucking burn victim, but he is wearing a nice suit. It's mostly black because most vampires kind of wear black in order to like hide the blood when they eat. But he does have like a little white collared shirt. He's not wearing the jacket that's in the handout, but you can assume that at some like but you can see it hanging up like in the house. And he goes, "Oh, hello. How may I help you this night?"
"Hi, Harlem Greaves, or do you prefer Dr. Greaves?"
"I do prefer Dr. Greaves, yes. And you are Salem Jones."
"Yes. I'm here to negotiate along with my associates on behalf of the prince."
"Well, I'm currently not seeing any patients right now, so why don't you come on in and we can talk a little more privately about the whole matter?"
"Of course."
So he steps aside and lets you all in.
"The second I get inside, I would like to sense the unseen."
"Okay. Yeah, so since you are actively using it, so you roll Resolve plus Auspects."
"Yes, and if there's anything hidden in the room, you, Colin, need to make a hidden roll of Wits plus Auspects."
"Okay. All right. So go ahead and roll it."
"3.
Okay.
Now the question is Colin actually doing a hidden roll? Or is he taking a long time to make it seem like he's doing a hidden roll?"
No, you don't sense anything.
"Interesting.
I don't like being told that, but okay."
He doesn't lead you much past like what would be the lobby area, which is just like a small living room that he has like set up like some chairs with like a table in the middle with some magazines. And he goes, "So, you say that the prince has an offer for me?"
"Well, we are here on behalf of the prince and we are making an offer."
"I believe that the sheriff's word is as good as the prince's at any day of the week. And you can take that how you will."
"Right. So, I'm not sure how you are currently appraised of the city's going-ons. But there's currently a incursion of Sabbat coming into Chicago. And rather than start territory wars on three fronts, we'd like to make an offer that the various anarch barons that are willing to help us root out the Sabbat would be given, rather than having to take territory for themselves, would be given a stretch of territory within the city of their own, necessitating less bloodshed."
He looks at you and he goes, "You don't want to fight a war on three fronts."
"God damn it, I was hoping you hadn't caught that."
"I mean,
yeah, three fronts.
Barons.
Right. Well, I didn't say three as in, like, I wasn't including the Second Inquisition. I was saying three as in, and I genuinely mean this, I'm not backtracking here.
Okay.
I was saying three fronts as in, like, ours, theirs, and the Sabbat, I guess, was what I meant.
Okay. Okay, so you just worded it.
That was not a slip, is what I'm getting at.
Okay, all right.
It would be really good if it was, though.
Yeah, I was thinking that you did slip, and what you were letting slip was the civil war that's brewing. That's what I was thinking.
No.
But, no, okay. That's fair enough. Okay.
Although, I feel like...
You could have worded it better, but if you... Like, okay. Maybe you have to roll to convince him that this isn't a slip. Because,
yeah,
like, if he, even if he's queuing in on the wrong thing, if he cues in that there's, like, more going on.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, go ahead and roll composure plus persuasion, I would say. And I'm going to roll with his wits and insight.
You should do a hidden roll for yours, Colin.
Yes, thank you. I don't know how to make it hidden, which sort of gave away, which gave away the fact that fucking. Oh well.
Also, sorry, Chloe.
Oh, there we go. GM roll. All right.
Yeah, I was scrolling up because I know that there's a command for it.
Do I want to? I mean, I guess I may as well just spend a willpower to reroll this. Like, I fucked up three dice. I'm gonna spend a
week. I rolled the wrong kind of dice. So
good job.
That's three successes.
So you say that, and he seems to believe that it was just a genuine like slip. Then he doesn't seem to think that. He believes you when you say no. There's nothing else going on. I just worded it a weird way.
He says, "You. What do you mean on three fronts?" And Sam goes, "Yeah, you, the Sabbat, and us. Three fronts."
Yep. Okay. And then he nods at that. So he seems to genuinely believe you at that.
Okay.
Now roll charisma plus insight to see if you can detect if he's lying about believing you.
You want me to roll my literal best two stats? I can do that.
Yeah, go for it. Do it. Do it, you coward. He genuinely believes you.
Okay.
Seven successes, yeah.
He genuinely believes you. I was going to make the difficulty the number of successes he had, which was three. So you 100% know that he believes you. So he goes, "Interesting. That is quite an interesting proposal. To give the Anarchs their own official territory in Chicago. That has not been heard since there has been a Chicago."
Well, new princes. New precedents.
He's still getting his feet under him, basically, so he doesn't want to, like...
No, we don't tell him that. We don't talk about the prince being weak in front of the enemy.
Fair enough, yeah.
I do, however, in character, say, that just goes to show you how important this is, though, right?
And the Sabbat would be a bad... The Sabbat are bad neighbors. No matter which side of the Camarilla or the Anarchs that you fall on.
Exactly.
You scratch our back, we scratch yours. A kinder, gentler prince.
I can see most of the other so-called barons agreeing to this, but Calvin will be a hard sell. He doesn't like your current prince very much. Quite a bit of a personal past between the two of them, I do believe.
Oh. What if... I wouldn't suppose you would mind telling us what you know.
I'm not sure how much you know about Calvin Barnes, but he is currently covered head to foot in runic tattoos. And when I say head to foot, I do mean the top of the head as well.
I'm gonna guess Tremere.
Not just Tremere. Montanaro personally tattooed those runes onto him.
Oh. So it wasn't something that that they did themselves.
Correct.
I could see why that would be a sticking point.
And just so we're clear, I like to be clear on these things. Calvin did not consent to this.
No. They 100% did not.
Okay.
You would have to ask Calvin about why Montanaro did that to them, but I doubt they would be very much into talking about it.
If I had to guess, it's some sort of blood sorcery experiment.
God, the curse of Hobbs.
Calvin was totally down for the runes. It's just there's like a in between in the runes and like one of his shoulder blades, there's a live, laugh, love in there, and he just like drives him insane because he didn't notice it for years.
Okay. Is there anything how well do you know them? I guess.
I tend not to get too into the Tremere stuff. Honestly, I'm more friends with Chandra than I am Calvin.
That's another name I know.
Actually, no, that's not fair. Chandra and I are actually pretty good friends. I'm more friends with James than I am with Calvin.
I don't know who James is.
That's not a name we know, Doctor.
He's a Bruja.
Oh, the Bruja.
All right.
One of the other so-called barons of us.
I suppose we're going to have to go meet with all of them individually. I suppose we couldn't ask you to bring some of the ones you have better relationships into this deal.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't have to go talk to all of them. That would take far too long. I'm sure some of the ones
that
I...
We don't want to drag the session out any more than we have to.
I'm sure that I can talk a few in lickety-split into meeting with the prince of... I'm sorry. I've kept a straight face far too long calling him that. You Camarilla are ridiculous.
It's a little ridiculous, I'll admit.
Hey, you know what? If I didn't have to, I wouldn't.
You don't have to. There's always us. We're growing in number and strength every night.
You know what? I wish I could believe you. Unfortunately, I am too tied up with some real unpleasant nonsense.
Offer is always...
I appreciate it. As soon as I stop being one of the Primogen's pet projects, I'll look you up.
Sorry to hear about that one. I don't know which one you're talking about. I'm just... any sentence ending with Primogen's pet project.
The new one. The one with the white hair.
Oh, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's weird.
You don't know the half of it.
I just got a good thing going on. I'm not keen on messing that up right now.
Fair enough. Thought I should offer.
No, I understand.
And I'm sure that the sheriff is going to reject the offer, but...
I give him a very hello fellow traveler kind of look.
All right. He just sort of shrugs and he's like, I have to try. Anyway, I'll talk to Chandra. I'll talk to Michael. And I'll talk to Nadia. Those are the three that I think will just go ahead and just say,
Michael's
sure,
not on
whatever.
The list.
Yeah. I know.
So that's
those
a
are
new one.
Those are new names I'm dropping, and I'm... Give me a minute to... give the handouts out.
Oh my god, look at that dude.
That's a fucking elf-ass dude right there.
Hi, I'm Werewolf Abe Lincoln. How you doing? You having fun in this rave?
I'm pretty sure that dude is secretly like a red cap or something.
Alright.
Okay, so besides then, I suppose, Calvin and James, are there any other names that we need to go talk to? Also, if you would do us the enormous favor of telling us where we could find these other names.
All right, he goes, Amelia Cleveland is the last of the barons, as some of them like to call us. Amelia definitely likes the title Baron. Ventru.
That's a Ventru-ass Ventru, yeah.
That is a Ventru thing if I ever heard of.
Lovely.
Walking around with a rose sticking out her titty.
She's holding it.
And it kind of looks like it's sticking out of her cleavage.
All right, so... you need to go to talk to Calvin, Amelia, and...
James was
James.
The other one he said he wouldn't do for us?
Yeah, James is the other one he wouldn't do for you because he and James do not get along very well. Amelia's the one who's up in West Side. Because, of course, the Ventru would be in the fucking nice part of town.
West Side.
Calvin's got a pretty large chunk of territory down in Englewood. And... James is down in Grand Boulevard. So the way I figure it is we have enough time for you guys to go talk to one more and then we'll do a second session involving talking to the other two. I'm not going to tick down the stuff. I'm not going to tick down all the stuff until, like, actually finish one of the tasks.
All right. So, yeah, I will, I mean, unless Salem jumps on it first, I'll give the dude my phone number so we can talk to each other.
Okay.
I feel like you two would get along better than
He takes it and he goes, oh, you actually use phones. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, there's standard operating procedure. Don't fucking dial me up and be like, hello, fellow child of the night. I have secured the cooperation of the other leaders of the Brood clans. Like, just, you know, all our phones are tapped. Be smart about it. But yeah, just fucking call me.
Have you told him that the second... I forget if you guys told him the Second Inquisition was here.
We didn't tell him the Second Inquisition is in town.
I mean, it's like,
but he should be sensible enough to know that the FBI knows vampires exist.
Yeah.
Maybe be smart.
Even the anarchists don't violate the masquerade.
Well, they don't violate the masquerade, but they do use way more technology than the Camarilla does.
And the anarchists are just a more modern Camarilla with a different political philosophy.
Basically, the only thing they really agree on is don't let humans know vampires exist. And the Sabbat are like, no, that is a bad idea. We should kill them instead.
We should be fucking night lords of the dayland.
Sabbat are idiots because...
bathing in the blood of 1,000 children.
Once humanity figures out that vampires exist, they're going to come down on them like a fucking hammer.
What do you think the Second Inquisition is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, population at large. You can have, like, dudes out on the streets with shotguns, with silver slugs and stakes and holy water and shit. You're gonna get swarmed like ants, man. Like, tarantulas fucking run from army ants. I don't care how fucking badass you think you are. You can't beat numbers.
So, which one do you want to go talk to? Do you want to talk to the hard one first? Or do you want to talk to the...
You know what? You know, Kor had an in with this guy. Kor had an in with Harlem, what would mutually be in Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm. Really coming to play outside of, like, the dude nod we gave each other, apparently.
Colin might have roleplayed it differently based on your presence, and we just don't know about it.
Yeah, like, Harlem would have been a lot less amicable if Kor wasn't here. And, like... I'm like saying, come on. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so Kor kind of had an in what with being a Nosferatu. I kind of have an in what with being a Tremere science project.
All right.
I too get poked at.
You know what? This is definitely probably going to be like Jonathan's show. Like, Salem is just there to be like, hey, this is we are officially with doing the prince's, like, negotiating. But since it'll probably be your show, you could probably make a very big show of, you know what would probably really happen? You know what would really piss the prince off? Having to negotiate with you.
Mm. Yeah, that's maybe a line that I can ply.
Salem's just like completely, like, I don't know, on the right over Salem, just completely straight faced. It's just like, what you want to do is lead him to making the decisions you wanted to make and make him think it's his own idea. Just like completely like the weirdest, the most fucked up thing you could say to somebody about other people, just doing it with this placid, straight faced look. Play on his insecurity.
Hi, I'm exceptionally manipulative, and it's kind of normal for me, so I'm just going to talk about it like it's kind of normal for me.
Look, being manipulative is my job, but I'm also very charismatic. It's my second best stat, manipulation. Salem is not a bad person, but is also not a good person.
All right, well, unless one of the other players objects... I say we go knock out the hard one tonight.
Not related to our current discussion. It's just something I just now remembered I wanted to mention earlier.
What?
Just a small little thing for the future. His Kor just wears that little silver cross around his neck at all times now.
I can very easily see that becoming a small totem for Kor. Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's fair.
All right, I'm hearing no objections.
Right. Yeah, no. This seems like a good way to end out the night, figurative and yep. literally.
Yeah. All right. So, here's the thing. You're going to have to try and fucking find him because you don't know where his territory is. And even if you do know where his territory is, just showing up at a dude's territory, like, or you don't know where his lair is. And even if you did know, just showing up at a dude's territory and be like, sup, we know where you live is probably not a great impression to make on this man. So, I need you to roll probably like intelligence and streetwise, unless you can sell me on something that's a higher skill for you.
Could I sell you on having somebody else make that roll for me?
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
it's gonna make the roll. It was gonna be a 3.
Does anybody have more than 4 total dice for intelligence plus streetwise? I'm asking the other players.
I have less than that.
I got 3 exactly.
Luke has 5 if you want to get Luke involved.
Luke has 5 intelligence plus streetwise.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
He has 2 intelligence and 3 streetwise.
I mean, he's a drug dealer. I would expect him to be a little bit streetwise.
Yeah, I'll call him up.
All right. He goes, hey, what's up?
Hey, you live in, like, Gage Park, right?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I don't want to get you more involved in this than you're comfortable with, so, you know, don't jump in deeper than you feel good about, but, there's a pretty big old, no, we're on the phone, I gotta watch my words here.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been hearing about some, like, gang activity in Englewood. That's like they're bringing in outside help. You haven't heard anything about that, right? Like, anybody who's in charge?
So, roll streetwise plus intelligence. No modifiers. 3. He goes,
Yeah, I can. If you're looking for stuff down in, like, down in Englewood,
he gives you, like, places that you would be able to search, and then, like, when you hear one of them, you go, oh, hold on, let me see if I can should have you roll for that. No, I shouldn't have you roll for that, because difficulty 3, he'd be able to, like, get you to where you need to go without you having to, like, decode it. So he will tell you around the area where Calvin could potentially be, which will give you bonuses, which will give whoever wants to roll bonuses to finding him. I'll give you like 2 extra dice to roll either intelligence plus investigation or intelligence plus streetwise.
All right, thanks. How's your day been, by the way?
It's been pretty good. I left your place a little while ago, but it wasn't because I felt like I was intruding. It was because I genuinely needed to go out and do some stuff.
And you know by some stuff, he means sell drugs.
Well, boy's got to make a living somehow.
Yeah.
Look, we drink people, dude.
Yeah, but
you ain't got a sugarcoat. We know what you're up to.
No.
We literally found you.
Hey, he does have to sugarcoat it over the phone.
Oh, right, phone. I kind of forgot we were talking on the phone for a second.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, stay safe. I know you do business in Englewood sometimes, so. Try and be other places for a bit if you can help it at all. And if you need me, you know how to get a hold of me.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
And once this I got assigned to a job, it's horseshit, as it always is. Once it hits a lull, again, I do want to sit down with you.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Later.
And he will hang up after saying goodbye.
All right, folks. I've got like 3 city blocks.
That's not that bad. It certainly beats searching all of Englewood.
Yeah. Basically all of Englewood.
My entire body turns to core. Well, Stalker Man?
All right. I suppose that is why I'm here.
All right, so you can roll either intelligence plus investigation or intelligence plus streetwise at plus 2 dice.
I mean, that's the same. It's going to come out the same anyway.
I mean, either way, then. Just roll him. Just roll him. Just
roll. I thought you had really good investigation.
At 2 investigation and 3 intelligence.
You didn't add your 2 extra dice.
I rolled investigation and willpower and intelligence.
Yeah, and then you were supposed to add 2 dice to the.
I thought that was
health.
Only if I did the.
No, that was just in general. Just roll 2d. Just roll 2d10.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that's a success. You might still want to do the willpower reroll.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Hell yeah! Hey, there you go. Hopefully.
Maximum reroll successes.
Yes,
4 successes total.
4 successes total will get you past the difficulty 2 that I set this at. So yeah, eventually you guys go rolling around in like it was around where Core used to be, used to live. So
literally just Core's old house.
No, it's not literally just Core's old house. He is not squatting in Core's old place.
Well, somebody asked
funny,
you
though.
Somebody is squatting in Core's old place, but it's not. It is within like a couple of blocks of that, though. And Core, you might have actually seen this guy a couple of times and just not realized that he was a vampire. But you do see a person who's looks. They've got like a pretty strong face, and they're wearing like this hoodie deal and. But their arms are just not like covered up by any cloth whatsoever. And when they look up, you can see that their face and their arms are just covered in what you thought were just like the stupidest like tattoos. Like, who would choose to do that to themselves? And it's like, no, it turns out they didn't do that to themselves. Uh-oh.
I see their arms and I'm like, oh, I know that one. I know that one. I know that one. I think I know that one. Maybe if it was upside down, I would remember that better.
As you're staring at their arms, they go, you know, it... Brute stare.
I know. I'm sorry. I've had a whole bunch of horseshit drilled into my head, and it's habit at this point.
Yeah, well, fucking make it unhabit.
Doing my best, boss.
What do you want? Y'all are looking at me like you want something. What do you want?
Here's a parlay.
We're here to talk business, like the kind of business we should maybe be inside for.
They look at you, and then they look at Core, and they go, you used to live a couple blocks down, right?
That is correct. I think I've seen you around, though it never really registered who you were until, well, I found out who you were.
Fun. And you're the prince's little pet.
Salem shrugs. You're not half wrong.
All right. Okay. Okay. So if the prince wants me, then you can kindly tell Montanaro to go fuck himself.
Yeah, honestly, that'd be pretty fair. Like, I get it, you know? And I sort of, like, roll my eyes and tilt my head. Tremere. High-end Tremere's.
Yeah.
I hear talk that, you didn't want those.
No. No, I didn't. You know what that motherfucker said as he was chaining me up and putting the first one right here, and they point right at their forehead where the big one is.
Let me guess. Either something about the pyramid or something about knowledge. And I winkle my fingers.
No. He said that I had to be contained, that I had to be nullified a little bit. And I'm 100% sure it was because they were fucking afraid of my full potential. Because let me tell you, I'm real fucking good at the blood stuff. And I'd be even better if these things weren't holding me back.
Kind of raised my eyebrows at that. I'm like, really? Okay. How good, if you don't mind my asking? I have been made to learn.
Let's see. Let me see what fucking blood sorcery he actually has. Oh! Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I can make so a quarter appear behind your ear. And there's not a quarter there.
Question, Colin. Did he take boil blood or hyper poison blood?
He took boil blood.
Okay.
He goes, how good am I? Well, I mean, if you really want to fucking know, some dude came up in my grill the other day trying to demand some... I don't even fucking remember anymore. And I just boiled him from the inside. I was tired of him.
Yeah, I've heard about that one. I've read about that one. I have been made to read about that one. I don't think I slept that day. Yeah, well, it's great, isn't it, when high-end Tremere's are interested in your potential?
They look at you. Just make a quick secret roll here. And this is an actual secret roll because I need to make this. They look real close at you and they sort of grin, and you can see their fangs because they obviously don't hide this shit at all, because why would they? They're in their home territory and basically nobody bothers them unless they need something anymore. And they go, you might not want to have Montanaro look too closely at your potential either.
I think he's deferring it because one of his primogens has first dibs.
Mm-hmm. From what I know of Virgie, doesn't really stop him.
Well, I will do my best to stay out of his line of sight then.
Okay, so. Sorry. Little bit testy about the whole thing. You come here saying that you got an offer from the prince. You obviously get it. They say, gesturing at Jonathan. Wasn't cool of me to lump this guy in with the prince either. He seems all right. Gestures at Kor. Yeah. They, however, points directly at Salem. Legitimately, his pet. You're the fucking sheriff.
Would it make it easier if I left?
Little bit.
Consider me gone. I'll be waiting at the car.
All right. They wait for you to leave, and they go, okay. So, sorry. Can I kind of understand now why I'm a little bit about the whole prince thing?
Oh, no, it's perfectly understandable. You're well within your right to be exactly as pissed off as you are.
Okay. So, what's going on that Virginio is allowing himself lower him to the Anarchs.
Well, you're not the only group who's making a play. There's Sabbat activity in the city, and we have very little information to go on.
God damn Sabbat. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
So, we've been authorized to cut the entirety of the Anarch population of Chicago a deal. And that's, you help us with a spot, and you get an official patch of territory. You don't gotta fight for it. You don't gotta argue too hard about it. You just get a place where you're in charge. And, like, you know how Camarilla are. Like, obviously, if you get loud and start a bunch of shit, you'll get cracked down on. I don't have the power to guarantee that that won't happen, and you know that none of the higher-ups would ever agree to that, but so long as everybody can hold hands and smile, you get your own patch of land.
Go ahead and roll Charisma plus Persuasion. I will give you a plus one, because it is a... It would be plus two, but he still really fucking hates the prince. You're rousing for
yeah.
Extra dice. Okay, so yeah, you had two dice for that.
My numbers aren't great.
And you're going to roll against his Charisma... I'll say Charisma plus Persuasion, which is just a flat Charisma for him. So go ahead and roll.
That's three successes on five dice. I'll hold my reroll depending on his.
The good news
successes.
Is he's only getting two dice, so unless he crits, then you will make a pretty good.
Here
argument.
Comes the crit.
Here comes the crit. No, it's just
a
single success. No, it's just a single success. It doesn't crit unless they're both 10.
Oh, I thought that. Okay, I was confused because I was like, I remember it was either this or Dishonored that had a really weird crit rule.
Yeah, no, they both have to be 10 in order for it to be a crit. All right, so he goes, really, a little slice of Anarch heaven in the Camarilla City.
Yeah. And, you know, there's talks about where it might be. I've voiced the opinion that you might feel at home between the Gangrel and the Bruja lands. You might like a slice in there. Our benevolent prince has offered to carve out a chunk of the Ventru territory just for you. I don't know, whichever you all decide you like better. But, yeah.
I might just go for it. One, to get under his skin, and two, just for the pure irony of it all. Because, man, after Munich fell, Pilsner was really driving home. This was where the Camarilla go. No, that Anarchs can live here, but they can't get too big. Oh, we can have our own territory. yeah, okay. I'm in.
Well, pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah. Pleasure doing business with you. I think y'all live up north. You might want to get up there. Daylight's coming soon.
Yeah, will do. And, you know, this isn't connected to the deal at all. If you say no, it affects nothing. This is something personal for me. I kind of got a blood sorcery project I'm working on. It's something real personal. I've got one person I'm sort of bringing on board. Would you be okay if I looked you up at some time? Maybe picked your brain?
You know what? You showed me nothing but respect, even when I was cursing you out for something that you didn't fucking do. So you know what? Fair's fair. Yeah, hit me up.
Wonderful. I appreciate it.
They hold out a hand to shake on that.
You beat me to it, Colin. All right, Cora, let's not keep our sheriff waiting.
It was nice to formally meet you. Maybe we'll work together in the future.
Maybe. Take care, Boogeyman.
Right back at you.
Get back into the car. One beat, two beat. Jesus Christ, that guy's terrifying.
I liked him.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Salem is present for this conversation, by the way.
Oh. Did my advice help at all?
You know, Salem, you're a good friend, and I don't want to be rude to you.
This is the fucking point where I make a fucking Xanatos ass joke and I'm like, oh, good, you didn't follow any of my advice. But no. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. We got them. They are on board. They'll have their people on the lookout. You know, I assume they're going to call Harlem and all the others. I don't know. When I hear back from Harlem, we'll know that we're in business.
Yeah, well, we still have two more, but I think that might be business for another night then.
Yeah, no, it's like 80 minutes to first light.
I don't know whose car we took, but let's get going.
This is it's probably mine.
Drop you off and I'll see you tomorrow, I suppose.
Cord, do you even know how to drive?
I have a driver. He's right there.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah, but the answer my question.
Is that a yes or a no, Cor?
I remember when they first invented cars.
Okay, so the answer is no, but you don't want to actually admit to it.
He wants to say that he knows how to drive a car, but he doesn't want us to call him on it.
Hold on, I have literally no points in drive, so no.
That doesn't mean that you can't drive. Drive is more for, like, stunt driving.
Drive is like
shit.
Stunt driving, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting into a car chase, a high-speed chase on the freeway.
Yeah.
I think I have a point in drive.
So what's the problem? It doesn't feel right under your feet if you didn't have to, like, hand crank the car to get it started?
You can't get used to power steering, I think.
Oh.
A runabout. Oh. I'll steal it. No one will ever know. Course at him, you know.
Okay, but now
I'm
just gonna picture
it. I just don't like doing it. Cars are very in the open. I don't.
Yeah, the boss prefers it when he can just like hang out in the back.
Sometimes I'd like to read on the way.
I hear that makes you motion sick.
Not really. Some people get that. Some people don't.
Can you get motion?
If I'm in the backseat, I get motion sick when I'm reading, but if I'm in the front seat, I'm fine. I don't understand
that
one.
You can get motion sick? I didn't think you had, like, stuff in your stomach to get motion sick with.
I mean, it's not a stomach thing. It's like a balance thing or something.
Oh, okay.
I vaguely recall reading Wikipedia on it or something.
Okay.
The online encyclopedia,
it's something about your inner
that anyone
ear.
Can edit?
I hate that it's just a meme for us. Whenever anybody says Wikipedia, somebody has to say that line.
It's from fucking, you know what it's from.
I know. Yeah. I know what it's from.
Hole. My chair is.
Cock and ball torture.
Okay, all right, we're getting away from it.
Hello, Gordon. No, it's something about the inner ear and, like, the difference. Like, your brain sees that you're moving, but feels that you're sitting still, and it's, like, it puts you up on it. Bumping, I don't get sick if I'm reading in the front seat, just the back seat. I don't understand that one. That one I don't get.
I don't know. Anyway.
All right, so everybody gets dropped off at home.
Yep, everybody gets dropped off at home. Neither of our other vampires took care of their hunger for the night.
Stuff happened. When the prince says, hey, you go over there.
So, that'll be interesting. Next time you wake up, you could potentially be at 3 hunger.
I got a dude.
You do got a dude.
Go to bed hungry, wake up sad.
Okay, well then, everybody, 2 experience points.
Yay!
Hooray. Now I forgot what I was even saving up for, but I didn't spend any of the ones.
Only 2?
Only 2.
We didn't really do a whole... Well, we did a lot of...
We did do a lot,
negotiations.
Actually.
Yeah, but you didn't finish the thing, so that's why I'm comfortable giving you only 2 and not 3.
Whatever, I got 28. I think I'm saving up to put my... Athletics or dexterity? One of them to 4. Probably dex.
I think I really wanted to get a discipline.
I know what I'm saving up for. I'm probably not going to get it.
Oh, are you saving up for another blood potency?
Not potency, no.
Oh, blood magic? Or whatever it's called?
Sorcery, yeah.
Blood sorcery, yeah.
The big old chunk of EXP that you gave us at the end, I spent it on a 3rd dot. I would like a 4th.
Okay. Luke's not getting anything. Luke made 1 whole fucking roll this entire time. Usually I give him... Usually if he's doing stuff with you guys, I give him half of what you get, just so that way he doesn't, outpace you guys and make you guys look lame in comparison. Not that he ever would. He's a fucking thin blood. But he made 1 roll. Granted, it was a successful roll, but he's still not getting any experience points for that.
Oh, if I had known it was going to work like that, I would have invited Luke.
Nah, it's fine.
Also, hey, I like that boy. He's my friend. Stop saying bad things about him.
I didn't say bad things about him. I just said that he didn't fucking make any rolls today.
You said because he's a fucking thin blood.
Oh, fair enough.
Alderizov-like.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm still in the headspace of, 98% of vampire kind.
Blah.
Blah. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Or good morning, I guess, because this is a vampire game.
Oh!
No.